It's my pleasure now to introduce Lauren Carol Harris as our resident TV critic on The Screen Show. You'll know her from listening to the show last year, or maybe you've read her column in The Guardian, Stream Lover. Hello, Lauren.
Hey, Jason.
So you're going to be here every week sharing your picks of TV as well as your hot takes on all the new shows.
Yeah, right here.
Stories, trends, everything that needs a further look. So welcome. Now, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, only stuff I've really adored over summer, a new teen comedy called Sex Education, the new series of The Family Law, Grace and Frankie. But I want to start with the most apocalyptic one, the new Netflix series Black Mirror Bandersnatch.
Yes, this is really intriguing. Now tell me about the main intriguing thing about this is what? I'll let you give the reveal.
Well, it's always been a high concept British sci-fi series about how technology is probably ruining our lives by Charlie Brooker. He has a mega dark outlook on life. But the interesting thing about this new installment is it's a choose your own dystopia. So it totally breaks the format of TV. I can't even tell you how long the one that you might watch is because you really direct it. You choose these forks in the path, and it's even built into the story itself. So it's about a young man in 1980s Britain transforming, adapting a choose your own adventure novel into a video game called Bandersnatch.
Right. And people will remember these if they were sort of growing up in the 80s. They were books where, you made decisions as a reader and say, if you decide to go right, you go
like
to page 38 and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
you decide to go left,
right.
Go to page 460. And this is like that, right?
Yeah. And it's darkly funny. Even the way they introduce this format is kind of talked through to you by this very officious, dictatorial British voice.
I think
voice.
We've got the clip, actually. Yeah. This is at the very beginning. As you first click onto it on Netflix, there's a little kind of tutorial.
This is an interactive film where you make choices which alter the story. Throughout your viewing, there will be moments where choices will be presented at the bottom of the screen. To select one, just click using your mouse or trackpad.
Yeah, and it works. You know, at one point really early on, it's a pretty banal choice, but I think you get to choose what he listens to on his Walkman, and it's like there's the Thompson Twins and Kajagoogoo or someone.
Yeah, these 80s references, and that introduces, you know, how to play. But I think, you know, the success of it is that it doesn't just transform Netflix into a gaming platform or that lazily rebooted, nostalgic Goosebumps type novel. It's really an experiment in connection with the audience to reflect on how technology might change how storytelling works.
And it's interesting because it's a film about a troubled sort of teen who's trying to make this choose your own adventure book into a game at the beginning of gaming, I guess. So it's quite a dark father-son, there's a dark father-son relationship happening, but he's slowly kind of losing his mind, this young teen. There is an influence that we have.
That's right. It's very meta. So he starts to realize he has an identity crisis because he feels that someone or something, which is really us, the audience, in a godlike position, is controlling his actions. It's interesting because people criticize Black Mirror for being too ghastly, and this way of doing it lets you choose the more optimistic or morbid path. Although, you know, ultimately it's Black Mirror. About fear of technology.
Yeah.
So the storytelling logic is that, you know, the worst possible outcome will definitely eventuate.
So just Bandersnatch, Black Mirror, do we recommend? You think
highly,
it's a successful?
This could never work on broadcast TV. It's amazing to see how internet television is changing how narratives work. And I love that it's set in the 1980s. You know, it really traces that feeling of political instability now, saying it's not new. You know, this was Thatcherite Britain. This was a terrible time.
The clouds are on the horizon, definitely, in this depiction of the 80s. When talking to the resident TV critic, Lauren Carol Harris, on The Screen Show, Lauren's going to be with us every week talking about the small screen. Now, let's go from the very dark vision of a troubled young man to something decidedly more sunny and gay. I'm talking about season 3 of SBS's sitcom, The Family Law. I wanted to detour here because I really like this show. It's a show created by Benjamin Law, of course, who's co-host of RN's pop culture show that's on tomorrow at this time called Stop Everything. I enjoy this show because I think it's a coming-of-age show that's kind of very classic in a way, but he's a gay teen. It's also Australian suburbia, and there's a kind of ethnic migrant story that reminds me of everything from Kingswood Country to the show in the 80s about an Italian taxi driver called Home Sweet Home, which I think was on the ABC for a couple of seasons. But I love the gentle kind of 360-degree sort of racial, ethnic-based comedy. I think it's really funny. Co-written by Kirsten Fisher, directed by Ben Chessel and Sophie Miller. But here's mum, Fiona Choi, in this. Ben's played by Tristan Goh very well, but Fiona Choi, I think, is the standout. Here's a little clip from The Family Law.
Guys, Melissa and I got invited to a party.
Huh.
All the drama kids are going. It's a social event of the year.
Wait, is this Rory's thing?
Yeah.
Who, Rory?
He's in my bio class, drama captain.
Your class? This is a year 12 party? You're not in year 12.
Age is a mindset, Mum, especially in
You're going, end of story.
Dad?
Well, I know what the Aussie kids get up to. They drink, talk the bullshit, do the fingering. How is that fun?
Mum.
You're just a baby.
I'm 15.
Exactly. You don't even have your hairs yet.
Mum, it's a private conversation.
Awkward. I'm pleased to hear that you like it, because I feel that Australian TV culture hasn't really had a lot of these, family sitcoms defining it. I think soap operas have really been the staple of, weeknight television in this country. But I think the last great kind of queer sitcom, Weirdness in the Suburbs type thing, was Please Like Me by Josh Thomas. So I'm really stoked to see this strain developing in Australian TV.
Now, talking about coming of age and the focus on
nerd
sex.
Boys in coming of age comedies, I reckon the standout of the moment for me is Sex Education, a new British comedy on Netflix. Let's hear it.
Hey, well, all I want is to have sex in the dark. What's the big deal? Why can't you just accept that?
Enough! This is ineffective communication. Sam, if you want to tackle Kate's issues surrounding self-esteem whilst respecting your desire for visual stimulation, you need to establish a clear verbal intercourse.
You mean like talking dirty?
No, I mean stop passively hearing and start actively listening.
Speak English, Care Bear Man.
Okay. Kate, you want to have sex with the lights off. Sam, you want to see Kate naked, but neither of you are listening.
Who are you again?
Doesn't matter who I am. This isn't about me. This is about you two.
Ah, but it is about him. So who is this dweeby boy in this new series, Sex Education, on Netflix?
Oh, he's just this really nice, pasty boy called Otis. And so the twist on the genre is that his mum is a relationship and sex guru. His single mum is Jean, played by the X-Files' Gillian Anderson. And so her performance is so just comedically primed to play this psychologist who knows all about the theory of human behavior, but then she's kind of like always overstepping her boundaries with her own son.
Yeah, you're walking in on him when he's in various sort of awkward compromising positions alone.
Yes, and little does she
Dancing
know.
Dancing With Myself is a nice track from the soundtrack.
Yeah, and because she's a sex guru, that means that Otis has kind of internalized all this psychology speak and he's turning into this weird sex savant. And, he sets up a sly business at school providing relationship advice to his peers, which is a really rich, funny premise, I think, for a comedy, because as a teen or even just a person, the worst fear you have is that you're going to become your parents, and yet it's also inevitable.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, I guess, is it almost in the key of something like Riverdale? I mean, it's a kind of, it's this high school drama, essentially. All the tropes of, I couldn't work out where it was set, for example.
Yeah, so it's set in Wales, but they do this really funny thing of like taking on all the conventions of American teen show that, or the things we might know from things like Ferris Bueller, like, lockers in the hallway and sex education classes.
It's very mid-Atlantic, isn't it? Which is deliberate, I think. I mean, we're not actually rooted in the real world?
No, I mean, it's kind of a fantasy of teen life in a funny way. But what I love is that the sexual politics are very of the moment. The young women on the show tend to be extremely confident, and it's the young men who are the ones like fretting and angsting and needing assurance, which I think, because it's so sex positive and it has such a frank attitude to teen sexuality.
And the gay teens tend to be fairly...
Yeah, and that's just kind of the norm now, you know? Yeah, and because let's face it, sex is funny and absurd, and I think we often forget that.
Well, it's interesting, the first episode features a young man who's like the jock, but he has a problem with having his genitals are just too big.
Yeah.
And that causes a problem for him.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this show in relation to the viral Gillette ad earlier this week about toxic masculinity, and the show definitely, you know, is saying that, you know, this is what can come of teaching boys that they can't express emotion openly, that they have to be the tough guy, or any vulnerability makes them feminine or weak. It's so smart, so funny. I think it's really great.
You know, I don't know if I'll continue with it though.
Oh yeah?
I don't know, sex education. Everyone's talking about it. I realize people are loving it, but I'm just not completely sold on it. I don't know that I want to delve into a comedy about the sex lives of teenagers. I don't know. I'm just not really relating to it. But look, I think what I can relate to a bit more is a show that you really like, and it's also on Netflix, called Grace and Frankie, which riffs on the legacy of its two feminist icons, its leads, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. We've got a brief clip.
Okay, if you're just going to act like a teenager.
Or maybe I'm acting like a grown woman who is finally living by her own rules.
I love it. I think we speak a lot in our culture about how millennials are changing social attitudes to gender and sexuality. But I love Grace and Frankie because it's about two women whose husbands left them to be in a gay relationship with each other. And they're redefining their own lives in their old age, like what Juliette Binoche was saying before about a woman walking towards herself. You know, it's very easy to think that we're in this cultural revolution of storytelling, but I think age and aging women is still pretty taboo stuff in teen comedy.
Well, in comedy generally. Yeah. So this is kind of
TV comedy, yeah.
Yeah, in TV comedy. It's you spoke about this film, this show last year on the show, and you said how it was getting really dark at the end of season four because they'd lost their house and they were basically being put into an assisted living kind of village against their wishes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a comedy. How dark is it now into the fifth season?
Well, it's really easy to underestimate it as just like dumb comfort food because it's like a boomer sitcom. But, you know, there's no doubt the show's subject, you know, it's about this inevitable frustration and degradation and regret and loss when it comes to aging. And in season five, they've now been railroaded and betrayed by their grown-up children who see them as like enfeebled, and they're now stranded in this like purgatorial, pristine, assisted living place called Walden Villas. So, yeah, there's a shadowy edge to it.
Let's play a clip from, I think this is episode one of season five.
Where do you think you're going?
We can't go back. We had a long run, and I've seen my death. It's me walking peacefully into the ocean. You want to come?
Well, I've seen your death too, and my hands are way more on your throat.
Fine, then we'll be beach people now. We'll fondue everything, and what we don't fondue, we'll toast.
How could the kids not have told us the house sold? Unless, oh God, unless they did tell us and we forgot. Frankie, did you forget?
What happened to us forgetting? I thought we forgot as a team now.
You're right. And this is exactly what they'd want us doing, doubting ourselves. Frankie, I will never doubt you.
Thank you.
You really think it's a good idea to light a joint with a blowtorch?
That lasted a good second.
So I hope what you can hear is like this actually really bouncy sitcom humor that does offset the shadowiness of what they're going through in their lives.
And it's even cheesy. I like it though. It goes from right beat level. To beat.
Yeah. Yes. And that's exactly right. The writing is so clever. It hits those storytelling beats, and the humor comes from the fact that Grace and Frankie are navigating this world that has changed unrecognizably since they were last single. You know, they're online dating on iPhone apps. And it's interesting to me because sitcoms have traditionally been about quite traditional family values, I would say. Like, think of shows like Home Improvement and Roseanne in the States that literally, you know, let you peer into this nuclear family's living room in walled-off suburbia. But Grace and Frankie has a really radical view of old age because their marriages and their family structures have broken down, and they're finding new ways to live together and to form new families in this society as it changes around them. And now with, you know, season five, episode one, it begins begins and ends with shots of Grace and Frankie holding hands. And I think
it's very tender, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you finally realize it's this beautiful, funny, sweet bit of story about really the romance of friendship. Yeah. And it's just been announced that they're getting a sixth season as well.
Well, that's great news. So that is Grace and Frankie on Netflix. What else did we speak about? We spoke about Sex Education, which is also available on Netflix mm-hmm. up the top.
And the Family Law on SBS.
Family Law on SBS.
And Black Mirror Bandersnatch
yes,
on that dystopian entertainment platform.
That's right. Lauren Carroll Harris, it's been great having you along for the first of many TV chats this year. Thanks for being here and to see you again next week.
Stoked. See you next week.
It's Lauren Carroll Harris, our resident TV critic. You're listening to RN. The show is The Screen Show. And my name is Jason DeRosso.